Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 19th, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is the fourth Sunday in Lent. It's a joy to welcome you here, as always. And I pray that you are well. I pray that your Lenten journey is going well. And if you haven't been able to maintain a discipline, if you feel like you haven't caught up to the season, fear not, there is no time like the present. And why don't we begin then by worshiping together? And as it is our custom around the podcast to begin worship by celebrating the gift of life, by taking in the breath of life. By breathing in and letting it out, all the while being mindful that it is a gift from God. It's a sign of our life in God. And as you breathe, turn your face toward the sky. Call to mind the people and the places and the stories in the situations that fill you up with joy. Give thanks to God for all of it. And in this posture, in this spirit, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in today's call to worship. It's printed in the bulletin. You can find that bulletin just over to the right of where you found today's podcast. Just give a tap on that little notes tab, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. When we pass through the waters, God is there with us. When we suffer and feel hopeless, God is there with us. When we are joyful and celebratory, God is there with us. Whether we feel triumphant or defeated, God is there with us always. Come, let us worship together with Emmanuel, God with us. Our gospel reading today comes from John's gospel in the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 41. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees all began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become one of his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive and among us. We pray to be anointed by your word today. We pray to have our eyes opened by your word. We pray to be immersed in your word, to wash ourselves in your word so that we can see and hear and feel your presence. And that we could go out and bless the world according to your word. We ask this in your holy name and say, Amen. Friends, what a joy we have today to consider this story from the Gospel of John. The story of the man born blind. Well, it's the story of the man born blind, and it's the story of the blindness of all of us. It's the story of the blindness of arrogance. It's the story of the presuppositions we make, all kinds of great things for preaching, which is such an indication of John's gospel. It is rich and dense. And this is the third week where we've enjoyed a story from the Gospel of John. And if you've been following along, hopefully it's helping you have a greater appreciation for how beautifully written the Gospel is, how special it is. It is written, first and foremost, as an eyewitness account. John is trying to directly tell you and me and any reader what happened. Let me tell you about what happened. It's not written as myth. It's not written as some grand, adventurous, fictional narrative. That genre didn't even exist then. He writes a beautifully rich, interwoven account of the public ministry of Jesus with one goal in mind: that you and I and every person who finds themselves blessed by this gospel would come to believe that Jesus is Lord, just like the man born blind, who at the end of this very long passage says to the Lord, "I believe." But how do we get to that point? And I don't want to get in the way of John's storytelling for fear of trying to be clever. Let's dispense with that and just kind of walk through the story again and look at little points of connection. I'll share with you the ones that I have. And give yourself the gift today of going back and reading these 41 verses for yourself and let God lift the words off the page. The Holy Spirit will draw you to words, things that connect right with your life, or you can see them playing out in the world around us right now. Jesus and his disciples have been heavily engaged in their public ministry. And as they were walking along, they encounter this man who's been blind from birth. And it's interesting that seeing this man blind from birth draws out of some of the disciples a question which might have been a common theological question. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Right? It would have been in this rhetorical style of teaching that the rabbi would engage in with his students. And Jesus essentially says to them, no, you're asking the wrong question. This really isn't a matter of who sinned. Nobody sinned. Let's take that off the table. Let's look at the opportunity that's in front of us. This blind man is before us so that God's works might be revealed in him. Students, this is a golden opportunity for us. His blindness is an opportunity for us to demonstrate the presence of God with us. And without even consulting with the man, there's Jesus, his disciples, and they are clearly standing right by the man. And while he's teaching, I imagine him kind of kneeling down or taking one knee and making some mud out of some spit and dirt. John's imagery, right? The Son of God, this Jesus, he picks up some dirt out of the earth. Think of creation. Think of the opening narrative in John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, right? He tells the creation story. Jesus picks up the dirt, and he spits in it. This very primal act, spitting in the dirt, but this is some holy saliva, this is. And with it, he makes a salve. Think salvation, saliva, salvation, and salve. He makes this holy mud. Now, this guy's blind. He doesn't see what Jesus is doing. And we don't get it in the narrative that he's like, okay, man, I'm making some mud right now, and I'm going to put it on your eyes. He just hauls off and does it. And he anoints the man's eyes. And maybe he's taken aback for a second and he says, listen, I have just anointed your eyes. And you need to listen carefully to me because what happens next is very important. He spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So this blind man does exactly what he is instructed to do. He gets up and he washes. He goes to wash in the river. Thank you, John, for this rich telling of the story, this eyewitnessing of this account. We get to be there with him. As he goes into the water of baptism, washes, and comes up to new life. Because he comes back and he's able to see. And as you can imagine, we can only imagine, unless it's something you've experienced in your life, to have been blind your whole life, to encounter a stranger who anoints your eyes with mud, you wash your eyes clean, you come up and you can see. You've never experienced sight before. And now you can see, whether he was totally blind or if his world vision was just pure blur and form and shadow, however it is, he can see and it changes him. His countenance, the way he appears, changes. So he comes back into town and people who have maybe been around him for a while, isn't that the blind beggar guy? I swear that's him, but this guy can see. No, some of the others say it can't be. It looks like him, but that's not him. It couldn't be him. And he hears them debating whether or not it's him, and he's like, hey, yo, it's me. I'm the man. I was blind, but now I can see. Well, how did this happen? They kept asking him. How were your eyes opened? He answered them, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And when I did that, I received my sight. And they asked, well, where is he? Makes sense. He doesn't know where he is because the last time he was in his presence, he couldn't see him. Wasn't even sure where he would have been. Okay, this is all getting a little too weird for them. Right? The questions that it asks are much bigger than the testimony of the fact that he is standing before them, able to see. So they seek the authority. They seek the wisdom and the authority of the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, side note, John says, remember, this was the Sabbath, which, interestingly enough, it gets some of the Pharisees upset. As they begin to hear the story, they see the witness. He clearly can see. Well, he can't be of God. He healed on the Sabbath. No man would do that who was of God. But the others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And the arguing starts. Because here they are, confronted with the truth. Confronted with the truth that this man, who they dismissed, who they despised, who wasn't of their class or their set, stands before them whole and healed, full of life and confident and able to see. How can these things be? The words of Nicodemus from a couple of Sundays ago ring in my ears. They have to be confused, a little bit afraid, because they're scrambling to make sense of the beautiful, life-giving, sight-giving miracle that Jesus has performed. This thing is spilling out and they cannot put it back in the bottle. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents. And maybe we got the wrong guy. This whole thing, let's just settle it down. Where are your folks? Yeah, they live up on the block. Somebody go get his folks. So his folks come down. Is this your son? Yeah, he's our son. He was born blind from birth? Yes. And who is it that healed him, gave him his sight back? Whoa, hold up there. That's our son. And yes, he was born blind. But as far as who healed him, he's going to have to tell you that. He's of age. You ask him. And it's interesting why they say this. They know it's a bit of a trap. Because if they say anything that could be a sign of support, gratitude, any sign that they might want to follow in the way of this healing, miracle-working rabbi, they're going to be cast out of their community. I mean, it's not like simply just being, well, you're not going to be able to come to church anymore. To be put out of the synagogue would be to be shamed and put out of the communal life. They can't endure that. And so they defer to their son. This man who is, just put yourself in his shoes for a minute. How frustrating. All you want to do is run through the streets and tell everyone the miracle that God has done. And those who serve in authority, who claim to be emissaries, spokespersons for the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, who's referenced here, they're trying their best. They're doing all of the theological gymnastics and legal gymnastics that they can to disprove the miracle that is right in front of them. And so they start over again with the questioning. Now, wait. Let's just tell me the story again. This interrogation process to see if the story changes. Because if you ask someone in interrogation the same line of questions over and over, if the story starts to change, well, then maybe you got something. But the story never changes. And he starts to get a little frustrated, this man now that was born blind and now can see. Why do you keep asking me the same question? And then it strikes his mind that, well, maybe they keep asking me how it is I came to get my sight. And naively, innocently, I think, he says, wait, you keep asking me the same question. Do you want to follow him too? And that's all they can stand. It is absolute final assault to their arrogance and to their egos. They'll have none of it. And they just put him out. Get out of here. You were born in your sin, you low-life, blind beggar. How dare you question us? We're in authority. You are not, and certainly not this Nazarene, this Jesus. So they cast him out. They sent him away. Jesus gets word of it. And he finds the man. And he asks him a question. He said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one who is speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And as this man's worshiping him, Jesus knows that he is within earshot of the Pharisees. Some of the Pharisees were near him and heard this. Well, heard him say this. This is what he says. I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. And these Pharisees who were right nearby, they respond once again, puffed up and inflated, their egos bruised, and they push back. Surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. What's that all about? This blind man, who never calls out to Jesus, expects nothing of Jesus, just happens to kind of bump into him, is completely open to the healing that he offers. In many ways, he has nothing. And he bumps into Jesus, who anoints his eyes and says, go and wash. And so he goes and washes, because what's he got to lose? And that he, a man of the lowest strata, comes up from the water, and he can see, and he knows he's had an encounter with the divine, and no one is going to convince him otherwise, not even these powerful men who can kick him out of his very life. But these Pharisees, they see. Oh, we see. We know the questions to ask, and we know the law. And surely this Jesus, he is not one of us. We know better. And in their self-assurance and self-righteousness, in their arrogance, they are completely blind. They think they see, but their sight Their arrogance causes them to completely miss the miracle that is right in front of them. If you were blind, you would not have sin. If you weren't so filled with your sense of self-assurance that you've got this figured out, that you have ascended God, and that you act as God and judge, if you could let that go, you could see like he sees. But because you can't, you're more blind than he was when he woke up this morning. He believes. He's had his eyes opened. We're all blind. We all have an Achilles heel. We all have a tragic flaw. We all have assumptions in our lives that we need to let go of. We all suffer from some kind of blindness, something that prevents us from fully embracing life with God. And Jesus just invites us, and he says, "Let me anoint you. Go to the river and wash, and come back. When you're healed, when you can see, come back and tell the others." Spend some time. Give yourself this gift. Walk with the man born blind. Find yourself in him. Walk with the Pharisees and see if you don't find a little bit of yourself in their story as well. Look at the man's parents, the crowds that engage him. Find little points of your own life experience in theirs. And from every perspective, stand in the presence of Jesus and expect his anointing and his healing. Go to the river and be washed and see what happens to your vision. I think you'll find it's profoundly good news, to which we say, Amen. Father, heal us of our blindness. Show us our blind spots. Anoint us and send us to the river, O God, so that we could come back and tell the others, and that our joy would be so radiant they might not even recognize us. Come, Holy Spirit of the living God, fill each and every one of us with your healing power. Judge us where we need to be judged and give us grace in all things. Heavenly Father, I pray your blessings upon this good land, in particular upon these United States of America. God, show us the way. Prepare for us the way. Light the path and help us to walk it. Your whole world, O God, cries out and needs your forgiveness and your healing. Bless every man, woman, and child on this earth. And God, you know the petitions of our hearts. You know the things that capture our thinking. Good things and hard things and distracting things. Bring us peace. And join us, O God, as we make quiet space to sit in your presence and listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you for the gift of peace and quiet. We thank you for your presence with us. And we celebrate and share a prayer that you taught us. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, I pray that we move on from this moment with renewed vision, a clearer and better understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who anoints us, calls us to be baptized, and when we emerge from the waters of baptism, radiant with the Holy Spirit, that we would go and tell the others what God has done. Our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.